What's up, everyone? Duststorm here with Podtacular. I am here with Dan Ayoub from 343. We're here with some Halo Wars goodness. Lots of stuff to talk about.
Lots of stuff here at E3.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff. We're actually up here at the broadcast booth, which we're overseeing everybody playing all the Xbox games, which is pretty cool to begin with. I don't think I've ever been up in the broadcast booth before, so this is a first for me.
It is fun being up here. And yeah, as you say, the view up here is just great, right? We were just commenting, usually this late on a Thursday, the crowd's starting to thin out a bit, but there's still some great groups. Nice healthy line for Halo Wars 2, which is good to see. But yeah, no, it's awesome up here.
So we heard Halo Wars 2 coming out a while ago, but now we have the official announcement with the gameplay and all that fun stuff. So tell us a little bit about the process of you deciding to come back and do Halo Wars for a second time when the community's been clamoring about it for the longest time.
Yeah, and it took us a while, but here we are. Yeah, I mean, you nailed it, right? That's why we're doing it. This has been one of the top franchise asks for a long time. So we were very deliberate about the right time to do it. You know, probably the biggest critique we got after the first one was, why didn't you guys do this on PC? So we're certainly very happy to have it on Xbox One and Windows 10. Some of the process, I mean, a lot of it was just the right partner, right? Ensemble did such an amazing job on the first Halo Wars, and we wanted to make sure we could follow the first one in a great way. Was thrilled when we were able to lock down Creative Assembly, right? I mean, Creative Assembly's been making top-notch RTS for the last two decades. They're a brilliant developer, and they're also a PC developer as well, so it kind of like tied nicely into everything that we were trying to do. And the goal has really been to create, how do you make an RTS that's accessible to everyone? Like, RTS for everyone is kind of what we've been saying. And that's a pretty hefty challenge.
And one of the things is RTS, it hasn't always transitioned to consoles very well. And with Halo Wars, it kind of proved otherwise that it is possible to do an RTS on the console. But there's still some very disparate ways that you play an RTS versus console and PC. So how are you facing that challenge, making the PC experience really locked down to the RTS style that's been established on the PC versus the console, where you have a little bit more limited controls, but you have a general platform that everyone's playing on a level playing field?
Yeah, I mean, effectively, the way we did that was just make sure we didn't try and have the same controls on both platforms, right? I agree with you. I think Halo Wars, I'm biased, I think the first Halo Wars did the best job on putting controls on a gamepad for an RTS. And we certainly started from that for console and continued to build on it. For PC, if you go over to PC, it is a completely different control mechanism. Some examples of that, what can you do on PC? You have 10 battle groups instead of 4, right? Grouping was one thing we wanted to improve upon on console. So it's really easy to just like, you know, press and hold on the D-pad and you assign a battle group. On PC, because of the real estate with like, you know, mouse and keyboard, you can have up to 10 of those. You've got the precision that comes from a mouse, so your clicks per minute is much higher. You can click to anywhere on the mini map. You can set macros to do builds and constructs and stuff like that. So if you're a PC player, a mouse and keyboard player, and you've never played an RTS on console and you just pick this up on PC and go, it's just going to feel right. It's going to feel native.
Now, as far as PC RTSs go, I'm not a huge RTS player, but I've played my fair share of Age of Empires, Empire Earth, Command and Conquer. So it's been one of those things where there's a very different play style and UI set for PC RTSs versus console RTSs. So how much of a difference are we going to see between the PC, which you usually have like the build timers at the bottom and you have other monitoring stats, but on the console that hasn't traditionally been there? Is that going to be a difference between the two different builds, or is it going to be a lot more similar and streamlined between the two different experiences?
So yeah, we're still working on the UI right now. As you're seeing right now in the beta, it's, you know, still very much work in progress. Because we're a Play Anywhere title and we want to enable people to seamlessly move back and forth, we're still frankly figuring out exactly what it's going to be, but we want there to be as much consistency as possible, because as we enable that movement from one to another, what we don't want to see is, you know, you've been playing on console and you go to PC and now you're like, you have to learn a brand new UI, a brand new flow and stuff like that. You do have a lot more control at your disposal, though.
Now, one other thing on the PC platform we see a lot of is mods that get built for the game. And we have Forge coming to PC, which is going to be completely awesome.
Coming your way very shortly.
Yes. Is there going to be any kind of possible mod support, or is that something that you're considering in development for the PC version of Halo Wars 2?
Yeah, that's a big part of PC, right? I mean, I think not even just for RTS, but just as an ecosystem. Those mods, that kind of user-generated content. We're still figuring out how much of this we can actually get done. There's still a tremendous amount of work to do that we're figuring out. What we're trying to look at is beyond launch if we don't make it, right? Quite frankly. We have good support plan post-launch. We have a Seasons Pass, which has some amazing content, which would be great to talk with you about. I would love to get those in. We got to figure how much we can get in. The beauty of having a commitment to post-launch content is that's stuff we can bring online later. And I think it was a great learning for us, frankly, from Halo 5, right? Our post-launch plan, that support has really been appreciated and embraced by the community, and that's absolutely something we want to continue as well.
Now, transitioning a little bit over to the story side of Halo Wars, this takes place roughly 28 years after the events of Halo Wars 1. So there's obviously a lot has changed. The crew of the Spirit of the Fire has kind of woken up to a new era of Halo. So, and somehow they've drifted to the Ark. So what's going to be kind of the mechanism of bringing that crew kind of into the present day Halo scenario? Is there going to be a lot of crossover from the established storyline that we've seen in the first person shooters and kind of brought up in that as far as the story mode is concerned?
So yeah, so as you say, the crew wakes up, a little clueless, not sure what's going on. One thing to mention is Halo Wars 2 takes place shortly after the events of Halo 5. So we're bringing that crew into that modern, if you will, timeline. Can't say too much about how they got there or what that's going to mean. That does afford us some very interesting...
Hint, I asked that question yesterday and he didn't answer it.
Yeah, if you didn't get me after all those drinks, you're not going to get me now. But it does give us some good fiction opportunities. What's fun is we've got a new faction, right, with that Atriox and the Banished. We introduced Atriox at Gamescom in a very deliberate way, you know, basically kicking the spit out of three Spartans, which really turns it on its head, right? Like, people are just used to just watching Spartans mow through hordes of people. Here's one brute taking apart three Spartans. We wanted to establish Atriox's physicality in that. He's just this big, badass brute. What makes him so dangerous, however, is that he's so intelligent. He's highly, highly intelligent.
Which is very rare for the Jura Hollands. It's something not seen in brutes.
And it's a pretty dangerous combination, right? And that's what makes him and the Banished such a threat to, well, frankly, to the universe. And, you know, the Spirit of Fire wakes up, finds this guy. It's like, oh, hey, oh, man, he just beat down three of our Spartans. What the hell's going on? Atriox, I think, is one of the best villains we've ever created in Halo. He's got a lot of depth. He's got a really cool backstory to him, which I can't wait to talk about later. Yeah. But the response has been great, not only to how he looks, because he just like looks really cool and really fantastic, but people just wanting to know more about this guy. And I can't wait to tell you that.
And we know that part of the DLC plan is to release like campaign expansions and then multiplayer maps. So how long of a campaign are we looking at compared to Halo Wars 1, because that had, I believe, somewhere around 15 missions or so?
Yeah, I mean, we're still in development. Right now, we're probably tracking anywhere from 10 to 12 hours of campaign. Yeah, and our Seasons Pass will include a campaign expansion as well. So we're very excited about that, which, you know, again, you get the Seasons Pass as part of the Ultimate Edition. The other thing you get with the Ultimate Edition is Halo Wars 1 enhanced on Xbox One. And PC. So yeah, Halo Wars 1 is finally coming to PC through Xbox One. So
now
I'm very happy.
If we can just get MCC or, you know, something else. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Awesome. So I'm sure you guys have more plans down the road to release more content. Where else are you going to be showing off Halo Wars this year? I'm assuming San Diego Comic-Con is probably going to be a stop. PAX West is probably going to be a stop.
We're going to be at all those places this year. Yeah, we're just starting, right? E3 is always just the beginning. We have a lot more to talk about, a lot more new modes to talk about, a lot of different ways to play RTS to talk about. So it's our first step, and it's a good one, so we're feeling good.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll be getting more interviews from you as we see throughout the rest of the convention season. Got RTX in 2 weeks, San Diego Comic-Con 3 weeks after that, and then PAX West. So
yeah, I'm just not going to bother unpacking at this
point.
I'm just ready to go.
All right. Well, thanks for talking with us today.
You bet, man.
We will see you in a couple of weeks.
Good to see you. Thank you.